Gracious God, may these words be faithful to the written word and lead us to your living word.
Amen. Amen.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
So exciting. This afternoon, I had the great privilege of doing some baptismal preparation with three little girls, aged two twins who are six and their eight-year-old older sister. They had a lot of questions, which is so wonderful to have the chance to speak with children who were so curious and engaged about what baptism means. As part of our preparation, we came upstairs to the church so that they could see where they would be baptized, what we would use for the baptism. And of course, they were drawn magnetically to our beautiful Easter garden, which we will get the lights on in a minute, over here in the Lady Chapel. And we had a long conversation about Jesus' death and his burial and his resurrection. Little Helen, 8 years old, says to me, "Well, how do we know he was resurrected?" So, that is an excellent question, Helen. And actually, people have been trying to answer that question since the very moment that Jesus was raised from the dead. We see in our gospel lesson tonight from Matthew one example of humans trying to make sense of what happened. Matthew's account is different from Luke's and Mark's and John's, as they all tried to make sense of the resurrection. You may remember from Mark's gospel that we heard last year that the short ending of Mark ends very abruptly with the women seeing that Jesus was resurrected and fleeing in terror. There's a longer ending to Mark that was added because that felt very unsatisfying to folks in the early church. But Matthew then builds on it even further and adds an earthquake and guards and an angel sitting on the rock of the tomb, and then finally the women and the disciples. I think that the resurrection story is unique and different for every single one of us. I trust that when we all arrive in heaven, that our first question will be to Jesus, "So what actually happened?" And until then, nobody knows. But as I said to little Helen, all we can say is that whatever happened when God brought Jesus back to life, it was powerful enough and moving enough that you and I are standing here 2,000 years later talking about it. And she said to me, "Well, that makes sense." The personal nature of the resurrection is what is so captivating to me. In John's gospel that we'll hear proclaimed tomorrow morning, Mary receives the word of the resurrection when she hears Jesus say her name. Tonight we have the women experiencing the resurrection with an angel and with the guards in great terror, but also with great joy. The question becomes for us, how do we experience the resurrection? When we consider what the women who were present in Matthew's account of the gospel were experiencing, the fear, the worry, the anxiety, the sadness, they thought they were going to sit with the body of their dear friend and it's gone. When we think about the fear that they were experiencing, and in a moment, whatever they heard from the angel filled them with great joy. That was their moment of resurrection. When they had that terror, that experience of death in such a visceral way in the pits of their stomach, turned to joy in that very moment, both of those things at the same time. This was their experience of the resurrection. In the time that Jesus was harrowing hell, Jesus was in the tombs, we're told in the great hymn, the Paschal Troparion, Christ is risen from the dead, trampling down death by death, and upon those in the tombs, bestowing life. Trampling down, in the Greek Orthodox Church or in some more progressive Episcopal churches, they actually will dance this chant, Christ is risen from the dead, trampling down death by death. Each single experience of death is trampled down. Each unique, particular, personal experience of death is trampled down by Jesus. Not death as some grand cosmic category, but the fear that you might feel about your health or the health of your loved one is trampled down by Jesus. Your worry about your finances and your financial future is trampled down by Jesus. Your grief over the death of a loved one and the death that that reflects in your own life is trampled down by Jesus. The resurrection that comes to you is personal and unique and special to whatever word of hope and new life you need to hear. This is what we experience from the very beginning of time when people start to try to describe the resurrection to this very afternoon in my exchange with Helen. What is your resurrection? Are you willing to share those stories with each other? Because it is in telling each other those places of pain and sorrow and hurt and death and loneliness and the joy, the new life, the love, the comfort, and the peace that God has brought into your hearts that you proclaim the resurrection. And share that hope, that joy, and that promise of new life with whoever is graced to hear your story. So I hope that as you move into Eastertide through these beautiful celebratory feasts of the resurrection, that you consider very personally, how is God proclaiming resurrection in your life? Whatever happened at the tomb those thousands of years ago only matters if your hearts and your lives experience the joy, the hope, and the new life of the resurrection, walking side by side, trampling down whatever the deaths are that you experience in your life. When we proclaim our resurrections, when we proclaim our Lord's resurrection, we are making a radical and a bold statement of faith. We might not be able to puzzle it through and prove it, but in our lives, in our hearts, where we know that we have been healed from our pain and where we have found joy, there we will find resurrection. Amen.
Amen.